No, I'm on. Oh, well, yeah, okay. Whew. I have yet to recover. So now you know what goes on behind the scenes. There you go. So that's a little fun. I hope you never have to record anything with this guy right behind the camera mocking you. John LaFountain telling me, take 47 or whatever. Poor Nathan was working really hard to get the video to work. And all these guys, characters. If you want to have that much fun, come to men's ministry at 7 o'clock on Monday nights. We'll rejoin, I think it's, January 5th, I think, is the next time we meet. We're off. There's a little thing going on this week called Christmas. I hope you've heard about it. So we're off this week and next week. But we have a great time. Anybody get the, is it the Independent paper here in town? You look at it? Do you notice they had a big picture of the Christmas parade? Did you notice which float was in the picture?
No.
Yes, it was Lisa Miller's float. I mean, Rock Bible Church's float. It was really awesome. Very cool. And a couple people even walked up to her during the parade and thanked her for bringing Jesus back to the Christmas parade. And Lisa was like, well, of course, Jesus is always returning. Oh, yeah, get your outlines out today. We are looking to continue our Christmas series, Jesus from Garden to Garden, and just for a little added ambiance. I have my garden candle. Add some fragrance. There we go. We have Jesus show. We got an echo. We had Jesus showing up from the very beginning of the story in Genesis in the Garden of Eden. And then we see him show up a couple other places. We're going to talk about at least one of those today. And then we see Jesus at the end in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's praying with the disciples. He's just done communion, washed their feet, given them all this direction. Then he's sweating drops of blood, such intensity. And then the very next day, he's off to the cross. 3 days later, resurrection. A few more days after that. In fact, we're going to see one of the interactions where he shows up to seven of the disciples after Easter. He keeps showing up. He keeps returning. And this morning I want us to look at why. One of the reasons why. We've been looking at that the last couple weeks, and we're going to continue to look at it through some different things today. Before we get started, let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we can go and tell it on the mountain, as the kids sang. Pray that you remind us what we are to tell, and then be about the business of promoting who you are, what you do. And so I pray, Lord, that our time this morning would be dedicated to understanding that, honoring you, your word, your son. May it be guided by your spirit. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. You've been saying Merry Christmas?
Yes.
I got Holy Holiday like so many times this week. Happy holiday. I don't even say it. But I got a new one this week. I said Merry Christmas. And the guy was holding the door for me. And I mean, if a guy holds the door for you, you say Merry Christmas, right? Hey, Merry Christmas. He just really quick, you too. I was like, okay, that kind of works. I did ask, somebody said happy holidays to me. And I said, oh, which holiday is it that you celebrate? And he just kind of looked at me and kept moving. It's like, I guess that wasn't as effective. There's a reason that we celebrate Christmas. There's lots of reasons and reasons to say it out loud. I love the song selection of our kids this morning. God wants to be known. We're going to see that this morning. We see it at the very beginning of the book, because one of the first things he does is he starts talking to Adam. The next thing you know, he's talking to Eve. He's even talking to the serpent, try to get him corrected and out of the way, because we have an interactive God. Amen? And we're going to see this morning, look at the top. It says Genesis 2, 3, Revelations 22. That's like whole chapters. Are we going to cover all of that today? No, no. Various selections. Okay, we're going to try to move through this seamlessly, and then we're going to have some fun with some stuff that's a little more difficult, a little more obscure, which I think is really, really fun. Okay, and I think you'll enjoy it. If you don't, no emails, please. Okay. Genesis chapter 2 is where we're going to start. Genesis chapter 2 is the creation, is the end of the creation account, right? And right about chapter 2, verse 24, it kind of breaks into a new form of story. And right before that, Lord God puts the man, look, he put him in the garden, right? Of all the places to put him, puts him in the garden to work it and keep it. Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Ooh, everybody go, bum, 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 right? That's a rough little thing. Like, I mean, we're going to die that day? No, you know how you say sometimes, you know, back in the day, we didn't even have a gate or a fence around our school. We had off-campus lunch, you know, back in the day. You don't say, like, which day was that? That's kind of what's going on here, okay? Because what's going to happen? They're going to, well, one, they're going to talk to a snake, which, by the way, you should never do, right? If you start talking to a snake, they're going to have questions about you. They start talking to the snake, and they decide, well, no, we're going to try the fruit, and she takes it, gives he eat, right? Now they're in trouble, right? Did they die on that day? So we know it was figurative, right? So here we have this command. This is given to Adam, by the way. Eve, yet to be on the scene. Adam still has that one rib that was taken, okay? We're going to skip the part where he takes the rib, fashions Eve and the whole thing, and she shows up, and he's like, whoa, man. That's how she got her name. Whoa, man. We're going to go to chapter 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, this is post-conversation, that it was delight to the eyes, that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her and did nothing. And he ate. Oh, honey told me to eat this, so I just ate it, right? What just happened? Sin. Okay, that's one way to say it. What else? Like everyday language. Mistake. Disobeyed. Okay, that's the one I was looking for. I would have accepted oops or fail. So now all of a sudden, the dynamic has changed, right? Garden of Eden was most supposed to be, well, it was, perfect paradise. And I love the beginning of Genesis because all of the things, all the foundational pieces and truths that are set in place, it is absolutely by far one of my favorite books in Scripture because it gives us our first glimpse and depth of who God is and his intention. His intention for us was perfection in paradise. Him talking to us, us talking back, right? Him giving us responsibility. Adam got to name animals. Barely got to name my own kids. Right? And he says, one thing. Now, they jacked that up. And now all of a sudden we've changed the whole dynamic. Oh, you know how to disobey. I would argue that's part of what the knowledge of good and evil is. You know how to be evil now. You know how to defy, to resist. Ironic. Humans are defying and resisting God to this day, ever since. Now we have this new dynamic, and we're about to see a conversation that God has within himself. I think angels listening in. But God says, okay, next step of the plan. Some would say the plan has changed. Some would say this is the way God ordained it so that we could have our learning curve. Pick whichever. Just make sure you understand both. Let's get into this conversation. We skip down, I think it's 15 verses. think it's verse 21. Yeah. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. They didn't know they were naked. All of a sudden now they know they're naked. They tried to cover up with leaves. You ever tried to cover up with leaves? I prefer to cover up with clothes. He starts making them clothes. Provision, protection. Is God adjusting to the new condition? Absolutely. Adam and Eve are having a hard time, or we're having a hard time adjusting to this new condition. Verse 22, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. And then there's this weird symbol. What's that? It's like a long straight line. That's meant to denote something. But in the Hebrew, it's funky. It's wonky. It just kind of, it ends. It's like a impartial sentence. Like, well, now if they did it, where's the then? There's no then. So what's going on here? There's apparently another tree that's very important. We always talk about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Some people like to say, oh, they ate the apple. It never says that anywhere. It's really this one tree, and it gets all the attention. I'd like to introduce you this morning to the more important tree. Knowledge of good and evil or knowledge of life? Which one do you want? I'm going with life, right? I'll be a little ignorant if I get to live. I'll be okay with that. But God says, you know, there's something wrong now with the system. There's something evil because we've introduced evil. Therefore, verse 23, the Lord God sent him, Adam, out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove, verse 24, out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Now, when you I'm going to end up in heaven at some point. I'm going to have to give an account for what I teach. It was accurate, biblically sound, theologically, doctrinally, that kind of thing. There's other things that are kind of a mystery, and you have to decide, I don't know, like it could have been this way, could have been that way, and they're kind of, we call them secondary issues. Right? Are they primary? Are they really important? Are we going to build any doctrinal thing on it? No, we're not. But on some of the secondary things, we can have a little bit of fun. Flaming sword, spinning in every direction. Do I give you the first lightsaber? I mean, better than a lightsaber. Why this big weapon? This is our first weapon in Scripture, by the way. To protect the garden. Why would you need to protect the garden? Yeah. My brother and his wife, my sister-in-law, they made a garden at my mom's house. They put this big old fence around it. Why would you have to do that? Huh? I did ask him, where's the flaming sword? Come on. Why would you do that? Protect it from what? Why would you need to protect it? Because you want to come back to it. You want it preserved. You want it there when you return. You want to protect it from evil. What's in the garden that God wants to get us back to if he kicked us out? I mean, does God make mistakes or confused or whatever? There's a great purpose in this. I love the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I love even more the tree of life. This morning is a little bit about the two trees. Because really, we're going Jesus from garden to garden. We're really also doing Jesus from tree to tree. I give you Revelation chapter 22. This is the end of the book. We've been reading the beginning of the book. Here's the end of the book. And the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through which the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life, and it's 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. That's meant to mean that it's always providing. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Could we use that? No longer will there be anything accursed. Say amen. But the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face. That's important because that's symbolic to something we're going to read in a minute. We're going to have so much fun today. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. The night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will bear their light, will be their light, sorry, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, and this is the verse at the top of your outline that I gave you, these words are trustworthy and true, and the Lord, the God of spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, here's the verse, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Amen? Amen. Folks, that's how it ends. It starts with the garden, and it starts with a couple trees. One we were never supposed to know, eat from. The other was our destiny. What's wrong with the sentence I just said? Was. It is. Is Jesus going to return? Yes. Is the tree of life going to return? It's so much fun. We're meant to be back in the garden. And that's why Jesus shows up at so many different times and reaches out to us. In fact, he wants to be known. I love the beginning of that Revelation 22 passage. What is he? And the angel showed me. Why would an angel show you anything? Who decided you're supposed to know? God wants you to know. Why do we have this book? Why do you have pastors? Why do you get to pray? Why is there prophecy? We read Isaiah 40:11. Oh, great job, ladies, by the way. Love that. So many different places. We're meant to know because God wants to bring us back to the garden as well. Let's look at the first set of fill-ins. Be up here on the screen here. God returns to the gardens. And what's he doing? It starts off with the, I'm going to make some skin, some clothes for you out of animal skin. He's protecting. Isn't he? He's protecting. We didn't cover it this morning, but he has a conversation with the serpent. Very different than the conversation he has with Adam and Eve. Conversation with Adam and Eve was a little bit tough if you go back and read it. But it talks about a promised future. Talks to the serpent and says, not so much for you. In fact, we covered it last week, I believe it was. Said, no, we're going to have to crush your head. Because I'm getting rid of evil. I'm getting rid of temptation. I'm getting rid of the ability for people to be separated from me. Right? If you're going to eliminate something, but you wanted a word that started with E. Well, you'd be eliminating, right? You'd be protecting and eliminating is what he's doing. And what are you trying to eliminate? Theology? No, that doesn't really fit there, right? Doesn't it? TH. Threats. He's protecting from threats and he's eliminating threats. Why? Because he has plans for our future, your future. That's why you're here still. Even better, that's why you were made. And I crack up at all the people who want to find excuses for why God is fake or does not exist or that it's a fairy tale. And it's like, well, do your experiment then. You want to do science? Do science. Start praying. Ask God to reveal himself to you. Ask God to protect you from some of the things you deem threats. Ask God to eliminate some of the things that are in the way. Answer your questions. You know, that's what here for. That's when he's in the business of it. It's why he shows up with the disciples. It's why he shows up with so many other people. He shows up another time. We're going to move on to a second set of fill-ins. End of Genesis, same book, chapter 32. And we have this story. We're going to do a very short section of the story because we're having some fun. And because we got really a lot of fill-ins today, right? But you remember where it's Abraham, Isaac, and then who was next?
Jacob.
Okay, Isaac has two kids, Jacob and Esau. Esau is the firstborn. Jacob comes out second, but he's a contestant. He likes to get ahead. He grabs his brother's ankle on his way out. It's like, yeah, you're getting born first, but I'm coming after you right away. And you go on with the story. You come to find out that Jacob steals the birthright. He cheats Esau out of the blessing. And so you can imagine how older brother feels about younger brother. If I see you, I will kill you. And they separate, and they become mighty with armies and all this stuff. And Jacob decides he's going to go meet his brother. He says, I gotta rectify this maybe. I don't know, leading of the Lord, something like that. It's hard to explain why he does this, but he goes off and he's looking for his brother. He finds out his brother's close by, and he knows if he goes in hot, it's over, he's going to lose. So he's kind of going in humble and gracious, right? This is where we pick up the story. He's yet to meet Esau. Esau's right on the other side of the river. Let's pick it up. Same night he arose, took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 children, crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. Why'd he send the women and children first? Nobody wants to fight against women and children. It's like, hey, I'm putting my family out there. Like, hey, we're family, right? He's trying to send a message too. Hey, let's be friends. Let's be family again. Because it goes across this river. Does it feel like a garden if there's a river? Took them, sent them. Verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Wait, did it say alone? But then why does it say a man wrestled with him? Was he alone or was he not alone? Or how about this is confusing? Let's have some fun with it. When the man saw, does it say man twice now? It doesn't say angel. No? Are you sure? It's three letters, M-A-N, that's man, right? You know, some theologians and commentaries want to say this was an angel. I can read, though. It says man. We're going to come back to that. That's why I accentuated it. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. That sounds painful. Then he said, let me go, for the day is broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said to him, well, what's your name? He said, Jacob. And then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Yisrael. Do you remember anywhere in Scripture somebody renaming somebody and saying, you're never going to go by this anymore. You're going to go by this from now on. Anybody? Saul to Paul. Saul. Abraham. Right. Who else?
Sarah.
Okay. Who else?
Peter.
He runs the soundboard for us sometimes. Peter. Right. Who renamed all of those people? Oh. Huh. Well, apparently this man gets to rename people. That's curious, since God's the only one that really renames anybody anywhere. Well, we got this one man who gets to rename people. Do you see a connection I'm about to make? Who's the man? How could you be alone and yet have a man be there? Because if the man's God, you're alone, but God's there. And do we believe in the humanity of Christ?
Yes.
We do. Now, is that easy to explain? Say no.
No.
Oh, we'll understand it when we get to heaven and he explains it to us. Okay? But I'm going to continue my argument here. What's your name, Jacob? Well, I'm going to call you Israel. Yisrael. Why? For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. This is really difficult. Yisrael, what's it mean? Lots of people like to say, wrestles with God. Ooh, I like that. Sounds fun. Sports guys, right? Yeah, now we're in a competition. You look up wrestles. Wrestles shows up twice here, verse 24 and verse 25. And then he says, but I'm going to name you Israel. Now, here's the thing. The root for wrestling is different than the root for Yisrael. So he names them, but he's not naming them wrestles with God. You can kind of take it that way. Instead, it says, I'm going to name you Israel before you have, what's that striven word? Striven? Strove? You strove? That's the same word. The root word for strives, which this is kind of a weird translation for this word. It's the same as one of the two roots for Yisrael. Right? Yisrael, okay? The L part, let's have a little fun. Scott, I didn't know we were doing like language study at church. No, we're supposed to do preaching and teaching. Here we go. We're just the teaching part. The L is a short, it's an abbreviation almost always for Elohim, right? The plural name for Lord God, usually representing the powerful version of who he's called. You want to talk about dad, you're going to call him Yahweh or something else, right? Jehovah is a different one. But almost all the time, you see a word where El is at the end, it's meant to be of God or gods or something like that. So what's the Yisra? Comes from a different word, different root. Sarah. Have you met Sarah? Because Israel is basically Sarah God. Now, Sarah is not God. If you meet her, sometimes Sarahs think they're God. They never are, okay? What does Sarah mean? Persevered. Lasted. So you've prevailed. And a lot of times people look at this and they say, well, it can't have been Jesus, because if he wrestled with Jesus and he beat Jesus, well, Jesus is undefeated. He can't. That can't be. Well, we got to call it an angel or a man or something, unless you understand the word Sarah and its root. Because there's prevail, like, hey, we had a contest on Saturday and we won 3-0. We prevailed. That symbolizes winning, right? There's another one where Saturday I decided to go for a jog, and I barely made it home, but I prevailed. What's that feel? You survived. You persevered. That's a better way to understand this. That not that Jacob wrestled with God, but that he had an interaction with God that he lived through. He survived. He prevailed. And God let him continue. In fact, I'm going to let you keep wrestling with me. In fact, it doesn't say that he won anywhere. Says they were still holding each other. What does he say? Just let me go. The day's over. We've done this long enough. And why was Jacob in the wrestling thing? Because he wanted him in a wrestling match? No. What did he want? We read it. Bless me. He desires to interact with God, and he wants God to interact with him. That's the kind of God I want. Absolutely. Love this. Striven with God and man and have prevailed. Verse 29, then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask me my name? And there he blessed him. Do we ever get the name? No. That would have been fun. Made things a lot easier. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen the face of God, or I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. Now, do you see the See the feeling there? I met God face to face, and I was delivered through it. I made it through. Now, does that sound like he prevailed in a contest where it was a wrestling match and he pinned Jesus, and so Jesus is like, oh, let me go because I'm not a good wrestler? No. Oh, and by the way, just for some of you who want to say, oh, I know Jesus' favorite sport is wrestling. No. It's soccer, okay? If you're in Europe, it's football, okay? Or South America or whatever. But I've seen God face to face. Does he talk about the wrestling? That word, that name, where he names it, Peniel. It's like the turning of God, as if God has turned his face towards me, which is awesome because most of Scripture says no one's ever seen the face of God or no one could survive the face of God. And yet Jacob has an experience that is unbelievable. Now, you can see the arguments for why people would say it can't be Jesus, because if he saw his face, well, God's never seen Jesus. Well, yeah, except for seeing the face of God would be seeing the face of God the Father. Doesn't say anything about seeing the face of Jesus, which, by the way, we believe that how many people saw the face of Jesus?
Thousands.
More than we can count. I made my argument. Jesus keeps showing up in the garden to do things, to protect, to eliminate things. Here, he's not really protecting. He's not eliminating. What's he doing? He's, well, Jacob, you've been off. You've been twisted. You've been going down the path the wrong direction. I met with Grandpa. We had a deal. It was a little rough at first, him and his wife. But Isaac, he bought in, and that went pretty well. Now you're here. You got 11 kids. You got four different women, and you're at odds with your, what are you doing? I had a relationship with your grandfather. I had a relationship with your father. We need to have a relationship because I'm going to build a great nation through you. This is covenant. That's what we're doing. He's establishing, or at least reestablishing, a relationship. Isn't he? Fill in number two. He's reestablishing relationship. What kind of relationship? An intense one? Intense, I have it as the middle fill-in, right? What's the first INT? What do you think?
Intentional.
Yeah, intentional is not one of the words. Good try. You can add it. It'll be your Sunday service extra. Okay. Are they close? Are they, is there a give and take? What's a give and take? They're both acting,
interactive.
He wants an interactive relationship. Okay, we see that in the garden. We see it here with Jacob. Is he doing it around other people?
No.
Or is it one-on-one?
Individual.
It's individual, isn't it? I already told you what the third one. Do you think Jacob had an intense experience?
Yes.
Yeah. Thirdly, is he known? Do they know each other? Is he giving them names? Changing names, right? How close are they? What do we call closeness?
Intimate.
Okay. And I like this one.
Immersive.
Immersive is really good, and I use that one sometimes. Today it's immense. How big? Whole nation's gonna come from this. This is how I'm gonna bless the nations. This is how I'm going to define salvation. This is where the 12 tribes of Israel are going to go. Why? Because Jacob decided to interact back. I'm going to strive with God. I'm going to interact. I'm going to push, pull. I'm going to hold on. In fact, I'm going to hold on because I want more of him and his power to bless my life. That's why we have Christmas. That's why Jesus keeps returning to the gardens. Lastly, remember Revelations 22 when we read it, it said, and the angel showed me. We read that Revelations section. Let's look at John chapter 18. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself because he was cold, because he was outside. Feel like a garden a little bit. Jesus had proclaimed that there's certain things that were going to happen, where you have to die and be resurrected and the whole thing. And Peter says, no, we're not doing that. And Jesus says, yeah, we are. But in fact, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. So be careful about your bold predictions there, Peter. This is the third of three. He's rejected Jesus twice already. This is the third time. He's trying to keep himself warm, watching at a distance. But somebody notices him, and they say to him, you're also not one of the disciples, are you? He denied it, said, I am not. And one of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, what's his name? No. Malchus, yeah. Said, hey, did I not see you in the garden with him? Love that. What's Peter say? How's he answer this? Nope. Says nope. Rooster crows. Immediately guilty. But I love this. It's the guy who is, he's a relative. It's like, I know it was you. You're the one that cut off my buddy's, my family member's ear. I know exactly that it was you. And he says, aren't you one of his? Weren't you there in the garden? He's so worried about self. He's denying the garden. He's denying Jesus. He's denying that he was ever with him in the garden. It's tragic. It's tragic. As the story goes, they take him away and they crucify him. And then 3 days later, they go down and they're looking for Jesus. And it's like, what's going on? Where'd he go? He's missing. He starts appearing. Shows up to some of the ladies. We're going to talk about that on Christmas Eve. He shows up with, it says, seven of the disciples. I want us to look at this one. This is John chapter 21. And I don't think you have it, or we have it. But when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, they're eating fish and bread on the shore, just like they had done when he fed the 5,000, or all the times that he'd gone fishing with them. He said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, feed my lambs. The second time he said to him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, then feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hand and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. And verse 19 says, and they said this to show what kind of death by which he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Jesus comes back to the gardens regularly. Why? To collect us. To collect us in the midst of our mistakes, our confusion, our intense emotions, our doubts, our fears. And he shows up saying, you know what? You need me, because I'm the only one that can provide. What's our next villain? Starts with F. Forgiveness. Jesus returns to the garden forgiving. It's the key. That's why he keeps showing up, wrestling with people, renaming people, saying, hey, who told you were naked? And he keeps doing it. Why? Because he wants to draw us back in, bring us back. I forgive you. And by the way, once you're forgiven, there's more. Once you're forgiven, you're clean. Now what? More means later. People get confused a little bit on that section, verse 19 and following. It says, you know, when you're a kid, you got to dress yourself, go wherever you want. When you get older, it's not going to be that way. They're going to take you by the hand, take you where you don't want to go. That sounds like a bummer. Sounds dark. What's positive about it? You're going to get old. Isn't there a weird promise in there? And at least you'll be here still for somebody to take you around. And guess what? We're still talking. Jesus is forecasting. He's absolutely forecasting. This is what the future is going to look like. And do we have a history of Jesus forecasting to people before? Yeah, Genesis chapter 3, all the stories that we've covered in the last 3 weeks, every single one of them, he forecasts something. Hey, you know what? This is going to happen next. You're going to contend your offspring with my offspring. What? Hey, you're going to go to this place. And Jesus says at the very end of that revelation, the way the whole book ends, he says, behold, I'm coming soon. In fact, one of the phrases that we use for Jesus is coming king. Because he's returning. And one of the greatest forecasts is that second tree in that final garden. And that's why we want Jesus to return. That's the glory of Christmas. That God kept his promises. His promises are meant for us, for you. And for all the people out there that deny it, God bless them. How do we go and tell that on the mountain? Best we can. Amen? If you never started a relationship with the Lord, get back to the garden. Ask him in. Lord, return to me. I want you, me, from his point forward, interacting, intimate, immense, intense. Amen? That's you. Pray something like that. Come talk to me after it. That's why I'm here. I love this game. Lord, thanks for our morning. Thanks you for the symbolism and the imagery. Lord, thanks for the facts and the detail, for the history and the future. Pray, Lord, that we enjoy and celebrate all the things around Christmas as we celebrate Christmas as well. Thank you for the offering that we're about to receive. Pray that you bless it and help us to be those that make you known. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Merry Christmas. Christmas Eve, we're gonna look at the latest garden where we had a Jesus sighting, and we're gonna talk about Christmas. I hope you'll be here with us. Until then and beyond, may you look for him to return for you. Amen. 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 Go with him. Christmas Eve, we're fixing it.